My best Charles Davis fundraiser is on the line.
Bobby Johnson must be on the line.
Oh, absolutely. And he joins us by phone. Coach, how are you?
I'm great. How y'all doing?
Good, good. So I know you all had a big scrimmage on Saturday, and I've read a little bit about it. I'd love to have gotten over there, but I wasn't able to. Kind of give me a little bit of an overview of how you think that went and kind of how spring practice has gone.
Well, the scrimmage went well. I mean, it really wasn't a game. It wasn't like a spring game, but, you know, we were trying to treat it as one of our 15 practices and put our guys in different situations and test them in ways that we couldn't really in a game. So, you know, for that reason, I was very pleased with it. We got a lot of plays, but we got things that we wanted to look at and who we wanted to look at, and under the circumstances, we wanted to watch them. So it went well. We had a nice family atmosphere over here, and it was a lot of fun. Spring practice overall is going very well. We're down to two final practices. We're going to practice tonight and then tomorrow afternoon. And then our guys need to start concentrating on finishing strong academically, and heck, it'll be end of April before you know it, and they'll be taking exams.
Gosh, the time is moving. Now, here's the easy question that anybody could come up with, and that is, once this is over and you move forward toward the fall and the practice sessions when they come back in August, do you have in your mind a pretty definitive number one at quarterback, or is it still wide open?
It's wide open. You know, we're really – spring practice, you get 15 practices. That's not very much, and, you know, you're trying to get everybody reps. It's just not a lot of, you know, things that you can settle in 15 practices. When we come back for preseason practice, we'll have 29 practices. So, you know, that's better. That's about 44 or something, isn't it? I forgot. I don't know if I'm doing my math or not. But, you know, we're going to try to take each one of them and figure out, you know, what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, and what they're doing right, and hopefully come out with a guy who deserves to play. And that's who we're going to put in there.
Well, a lot of us have read the stuff about the working into the offense, some no huddle, and it all sounds very easy when your team's down 10 with 6 minutes left. We all look around at each other in the stands and say, well, they got to go no huddle. You know, you got to move it, got to increase the tempo. But in actually installing that, is that harder to do than people would know?
Oh, it's extremely harder than people would know. You know, you've got to have a set of signals or some kind of armbands or some way to get the play in to everyone and let them understand, you know, first of all, what formation is, if we're going to have any kind of motion, you know, what the final outcome of the play is going to be, or we're going to be able to change the play if they change the defense, and, you know, all that kind of stuff that goes on. It's really hard to make sure all 11 are doing the right thing if you're trying to do it quickly. But, you know, once you get it down and you get a system, you do it so many more times because you are going fast at practice. We're getting a lot more repetitions in at practice than we normally do because, you know, you're not huddling and you're ready to go and you just run plays.
Do linemen like it that fast-paced, or do you think they don't like it?
Well, the offensive linemen like it because the defensive linemen get tired in a hurry and get confused and sometimes, you know, aren't lined up correctly. And, you know, we get a chance to get a big play. And also defense coordinators can't have time to line up a zone dog or a man blitz or whatever and, you know, just sort of most of the time go vanilla if they're being rushed. So hopefully it'll give us a chance to locate people and have a chance to block them better.
Coach, is it fair to say, too, that the makeup of your offensive line
with now some more experience, a year under their belt for a lot of those guys, or at least first year starters, maybe that's their strength, maybe, is to be able to come back and have the conditioning to be able to get back up on the ball quick enough and to be able to stay in shape to do that over the course of a game.
Right. We're not the biggest offensive line in the conference or who we play, and we are a little more athletic than we have been previous years before last year, and it does give our guys a chance to use that ability to get out and come back to the line. And, you know, in that kind of offense, you also run, you know, a few more things like the jail breaks and the bubble screens and things like that, and give them a chance to get out there on the perimeter and make some good blocks.
Brian Honfeld has been your kicker for so long now. I know that's a job that you were keeping a close eye on during this spring. What did you find out from your kicking game?
Well, we're very pleased with our kickers. You know, Ryan Fowler was the guy we were, you know, thinking was going to do the job and come in here, and he's done very well. But we also had to have a backup, so we said, well, we'll see if Brett Upson can get back to some of his – he used to kick a little bit more back in high school. So we stuck him out there just sort of say, well, you know, he might be – you know, good enough to be a backup. Well, he's kicked extremely well. And so we feel like we got two very good kickers now. And that really helps me sleep a lot better at night. And the punting game with Brett still there, I think is good. And we also have a freshman, a young man named Richard Kent, who's a very good traditional punter. He has to work a little bit more on his rugby things and directional kicks like that, but he can really kick. So, you know, we ought to be better, or at least just as good in the kicking game as far as the specialists are concerned. And we've also been spending a lot of time working on our skills as far as blocking for returns and also avoiding blocks when we're covering.
The rugby thing is interesting. I mean, I was wondering if that's a skill you think you can teach to any punter that you recruit, or is that something that Upson is just so good at that that it's going to be hard to find somebody who can do what he's doing there?
Well, it takes a little knack. You know, you can work on it and get a whole lot better at it, but Brett just seems to have a talent for it, and he's got a couple different deliveries, really, for the rugby kick. He does the end-over-end one, then he does sort of a power rugby, which is a really low-driving punt that he kicks on the run, and it's more of a spiral instead of an end-over-end. And sometimes he can punch that thing through there sort of like a low three-iron, and it just goes battling through there down there. So he's very versatile and gives us a huge weapon, and we're glad to have him back.
I would think that anybody who watched the Music City Bowl around the country has to be thinking, maybe that's something we need to try to work on. I mean, do you think maybe more teams will try that tactic? I mean, after that was one of the better punting games that you'll ever see.
Well, we sort of copied it from other people, so we thought it was important enough to invest in. And, you know, you can also do the rugby, but also kicks very well. You know, a traditional kick also, if you want to place it somewhere, he can do that too. So if you got both, I think you have an option that you could do a lot of different things, and that makes people practice longer for other things and not sure exactly what you're going to do.
Bobby, it looked like all three quarterbacks did a really good job over the weekend. When you've got healthy competition, is that a good thing for a coaching staff, or would you rather have one guy that's kind of defined as your true number one?
Oh, I think it's great when you got guys who are similar, as long as they're all three are good. You know, I mean, if you got three bad ones, that's not very good. But, you know, if you got one guy who's so much better than others and they can't keep up, and, you know, all of a sudden he gets hurt, you know, you're hurting. Yeah, it's going to be a bad situation for you. So we like to have quality, you know, all through the position, and we think we do, and wouldn't be afraid to put any of them in the game. But obviously when it comes down to getting ready to play, we'd like to have one guy as the starter, and we get him the most reps as we prepare. And we just think that allows that one performer to play better.
One position you haven't had to really worry about, or at least you've had a lot of production out of, is the guy that they're throwing to, or the guys that the quarterback is throwing to. How's that going to shape up, or how's it looking to this point?
Well, we took a huge hit, I think the third practice of this spring, when Justin Wheeler tore his ACL, and it's just really hard to come back that soon, you know, for the season. So I doubt if he's going to be able to play next year, and that's going to be a big hit for us. But Alex Washington has come back and had an excellent spring. He didn't play last year because of an ACL. Played a little bit, but was not very confident. But now he's running, jumping, cutting, being hit, and it's back to old second nature to him now. So got some young guy, John Cole. He's battling sore knees, and you know, he had operation on one of them last year, and his other one's sore now, so we're going to have to fix him up. But he's a good player. Terrence Jeffers, we think, can be an outstanding player for us there. He's got to do some academic work, mainly earn some hours to be eligible. So, you know, that's something we're going to have to watch this summer.
Last year, Bobby, this time of the year leading up to the draft, Dominic Rogers-Cromartie was kind of that guy everybody was talking about was moving up the draft board, so the young man from TSU. Do you think DJ Moore has that opportunity?
Well, I never have been able to figure out, and I really don't try to see what the pros want when they draft and how they go about it. And you know, it's just, you know, I don't have time. But I do know that DJ Moore is a fantastic football player, and it's not how fast he runs or whatever. He's just a natural football player. He's quick. He's fast as anybody is in 20 yards. I don't care who it is. He can move in 20 yards. He's got great ball skills. You know, if we'd have kept him on offense for 4 years and not play defense, you know, he might have made Earl Bennett's second team, as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, you never know. If somebody takes him, they're going to get a great player.
I'm pretty sure you have TVs at the facility, and I'm pretty sure, while I haven't been at your home, you have TVs there. I don't know if you've noticed, but Jay Cutler's been in the news.
Who?
Coach, yeah. Have you talked to him at all this off season?
I talked to him today.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
We're not going any far. I don't think we're getting any more than that.
That was the question you asked me. Yeah, I did talk to him.
But isn't it surprising to you that it's gotten to this, Coach? I mean, I think we're all surprised that it's snowballed like it has here.
Yeah, it really is surprising, and I'm just surprised by some of the things you see and read. And I will just tell you one thing. Everybody says, you know, Jay's whining and all that. I said, let me tell you just one thing. Jay Cutler is not a whiner. He was here for 4 years with us, and he did everything we asked him to do every time we asked him. He went beyond that, and he was loyal to a fault. He could have left here and gone into the draft before his senior year, but he stayed here, and he stayed over the summers and helped guys. He had an apartment. He'd keep guys in his apartment so they could stay here over the summers to work. So he is not a whiner, and he is a team guy.
Bobby, I need to ask one last thing before we end this. I know you all had the football banquet sometime here in the last week. I think it was over the weekend.
It was Sunday, yes.
And I've got to think that was a wonderful celebration of the bowl season and the whole, it had to be a wonderful day. Am I right? Kevin Ingram emceed the banquet, right?
That's correct.
Okay. At any point in the banquet, did he break out into you?
Yes. Very early in the banquet. And then, you know, then after that, he tries to say, well, how easy I am to work with. He tried to get back on my good side after that, you know. But he broke out into a little mock conversation that I had with my director of football operations, Brian Reese, about Kevin being the MC, and figuring I'd be upset that Joe Fisher wasn't here and Kevin right. had to do it, and it was on that vein, which it was funny,
right?
And we appreciate Kevin being. He did a fantastic job.
So he would still be in line if there was ever a need again. He didn't hurt himself at all.
Oh no, he didn't hurt himself. He did a great job, and people had a good laugh. And,
yeah,
he's
one of the most talented people I've ever worked with, and all I can tell you about being imitated, welcome to the club.
You're right. This isn't Kevin right now I'm talking to, is it?
No, oh no, no.
Okay, I just think
it's a good thing to chat.
April fooled me today, or something.
No, this is absolutely George. But that's not to say that he wouldn't do that to you.
Oh, I know. It's funny.
Hey, thanks for taking the time to do this.
Enjoy that, like always.
Appreciate it.
See you guys.